That many. So let me proclaim this prayer. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Separated from you, let me never be. From the malignant enemy, defend me. At the hour of death, call me. To come to you, bid me, that I may praise you in the company of your saints for all eternity. Amen. Having prayed that, does that sound familiar to any of you? It was a prayer that was popularized by St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, but it was a prayer that is rooted in antiquity. It's been part of the Christian tradition for a long, 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 long time. So I will come back to that at some point, God willing. So what I wanted to do was kind of give a bit of a homily and then a bit of a sermon, a little of both, and then I think there's a couple more that may want to say a couple of words too, but homily, you know, is sort of a homey way of speaking. A sermon's kind of a teaching. And so to a certain extent, we kind of weave that in and out. So when we were doing the prophetic a few moments ago, what I'd ask is specifically if anybody felt that they had a word for anyone in particular. And I just want to say something about the prophetic and then to just to set aside just a short time if any of you feel that you have a corporate word. So the prophetic is, according to the scriptures, is to exhort and encourage and comfort and edify, right? That's what the prophetic is intended to do. And when we're trying to, as best we can, shut down those voices and to hear the Lord's voice, and then to also have eyes towards Him that we can see what He's doing and hear what He's saying. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to understand that all at the moment, but as we start to see something or say something, hopefully we sit with that for a moment, let it ruminate until the Lord begins to reveal more of what it is that He wants proclaimed. And so the prophetic is what the Lord releases within His body as a future event speaking back into a present moment that also may have the power to release something that they're dealing with from the past. Okay, are you with me? And so this word that edifies or exhorts or comforts or encourages is a word that the Father is speaking in the future back to the present situation, circumstance, where the person is right now, that may speak to them right in this moment, but it also may have an effect of something that has been happening in the past. You with me? And the prophetic does not speak to the soul. It's not designed to speak to the soul. What do I mean by the soul? It's not designed to speak to the intellect, to the memory, to the emotions. It's not designed to do that. The Lord doesn't have that initial interest in doing that. What He's speaking to is to the spirit. It's spirit to spirit. Okay? It's God's spirit speaking to that spirit man within us. It's not directed, that word's not directed to the soul. It's not directed to the intellect or to the memory or to the emotions. It's directed to the spirit. Because it talks about the fact that we are spirit, soul, and body, right? And the part that communes with the Lord is the spirit. And what happens at times is our soul kind of gets in the way and it wants a lot of attention. And so sometimes our memory, our intellect, or our emotions kind of get in the way. And so we have a difficult time recognizing that the Lord is speaking to our spirit, spirit to spirit. And then in speaking spirit to spirit, then it can begin to flood and transform and have impact into our intellect, into our memory, and into our emotions, as we become more and more conformed into the image of Christ. So, that prophetic act that Michael had for Bobby, of saying that this is a prophetic act, doesn't necessarily mean he was looking at it that way, but a prophetic act of saying that this is what Miss Eddie wanted to give Bobby. And this was a time to do that. That word that Dan had for Jason, of being able to say, you're tired, but the Lord has a word for you out here in the future, right? The Lord is speaking to your present situation and your tiredness. And whatever has led up to you being tired, the Lord is speaking to your spirit to say he's doing something in your spirit. And your intellect and your memory and your emotions may be a bit weary, but the Lord's Spirit is speaking to your spirit that I'm saying something to you that I'm about to do or to release. Got that? Okay. That word, those two words that you got, I don't know if those spoke to you. I don't know if those resonated with you, so you're shaking your head that they did, right? That both those words spoke. So again, you look at that and you realize spirit to spirit. That may all of a sudden, it's like, wow, that was great, you know? Intellect, memory, emotions, but that's not where it was targeting. It was targeting that spirit man in you that rises up. I mean, the Lord will say that that our memory and our intellect and our will doesn't really understand about the Lord or even what he's doing. It's the spirit within us that understands. He says that we have the mind of Christ, right? So there were the word that Jen had for her sister. You know, and I don't know if that word resonated with you, Loretta. Okay. So again, you look at that and you begin to realize the fact that the Lord is saying, I'm out here outside of time. And I'm speaking in to Chronos. I'm speaking into time, into a particular Kairos moment into your life of telling you something that I'm about to do or that I am doing. Or get ready for. Word that Jane had for you. Did that word resonate with you? Yeah. So you look at that and you think, wow, that is phenomenal. I just think that's so cool. And we all carry it. We're all that Ark of the Covenant. We're all the carrier of that. The carrier, that ability to release that with this kind of expectation, anticipation, to be able to say, I'm a carrier of good news. I can carry bad news. I've learned how to do that pretty well. And I can be a harbinger of bad news. In fact, I can even take notes as I watch the news. And then when I'm around people, I can even tell you all the stuff that I've been watching from the news and fill you in on anything that you missed, okay? And I can even embellish a bit on it if you like. I can carry that, and that can be the midst of what it is that I want to release. What if the Lord says, but I want you to release something else? I know that's going on, but I'm outside of that, and I want my people to hear what it is that I want them to hear, both individually and corporately. See, sometimes as we try to kind of pull apart a little bit of the gifts and the giftings, that little sharing that I did with you right now may have been very, very instrumental, maybe just for one person here, just for one person to all of a sudden take a step back and go, I don't know that I ever thought about it that way. That's how the prophetic works. God, who's outside of time, and see, time is something that is, it's part and parcel of our life. In our time, we're always going somewhere, right? And so we're rooted in time. God's not. He's outside of time. And so in outside of time, he can look the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end and knows it all and say, this right here is what you need to hear at this Kairos moment in your chronos of time. It's what I want you to hear. And we kind of go away with that and go, wow, that was kind of cool. Lord just broke into my world and just gave me something. But then what happened is I watched him as this divine physician, this master surgeon, do that for somebody else. And that means he wants to do it for me, and it also means that he wants to use me to do it for somebody else. Wow. I get to play. You know, I shared that last week, not original with me, but John Wimber, when he says, when do we get to do the fun stuff? I don't know if that was fun for you. It may not have been, I don't know. But let's just say for the sake of argument, yeah, it was okay. I don't know if that was fun for Bridget. I don't know if it was fun for Jane. But just say if it was, it's like, wow, I got to play. I don't know if that was fun for Michael to give that to Bobby. You know, and you think, or fun for Deacon Dan to have given that to Deacon Jason. Well, to be a bearer of good news. Amen. To be a bearer of good news. What a privilege. Because there's a lot of bad news out there. There's a lot of bad news because that's a tragic place out there. It's a tragic, difficult, fallen, depraved place. And that's the place we're sent to go. Not hide out, right? It's a place we're sent to go. Not to kind of sneak around and walk on eggshells and, you know, hide behind things and go like, hide from this column, then I'm going to run to the next column hoping that nobody sees me. You know, and the other thing is to pretend to be somebody that I'm not, just to kind of get along and to navigate through. And so apparently I'm not supposed to do that. In fact, good heavens, I'm supposed to pick up my cross. And that's the really bad news. All those crosses. You know, how many of you are bearing a cross right now? Man, if you knew my cross. And like I've done this before, let me show you mine. I've got a monument to it right here. And I'm adding to it day by day. And before I'm done, I'm hoping that it's really big. In fact, I'm hoping that when people look at it, they'll say, oh, I can't believe you've been through so much. Yeah, I know. I hope you're feeling sorry for me, because bring it on. You know? But don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. I'm just going to be over here in the corner with my can of worms, eating my can of worms all by myself. I'll be just fine. But it's pretty amazing how big that is, isn't it? Oh, I've been through so much. You, if you only knew. And I'm starting on another one, by the way, right here. And I have plans for several more. Just hang around, come back in, I don't know, a couple years, and you'll see. They kind of look like stalactites and stalagmites. I mean, they're growing up from the bottom and growing down from the ceiling. And I know I've shared this with you before, but man, oh man, what if that has nothing to do with the cross? See, today, in some ways, I think we have, and I haven't forgotten you, Bobby. Okay. I think in some ways we have one of those most profound descriptions of what the cross is. So if you can bear with me just for a moment and turn to Matthew chapter 10. So for 3 weeks in a row now, the gospel has been from Matthew chapter 10. So today's pericope or little section is from Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 to 42. And last week it was earlier in Matthew, and then, 3 weeks ago it was the beginning of Matthew. And last Sunday what I had talked about was I brought out that calendar and I said, how many of you remember what happened on December 4th, and then what do you remember happened on November 27th, and then how many of you remember that happened on November 20th, and everybody here knew exactly what I was talking about. Boy, my humor is getting worse, isn't it? Remember I shared with you, I was in the mall one time with my daughter, and I was giving her a hard time, and she came over to me a bit exasperated, and she said, Dad, you think you're funny, don't you? And I said, yeah, and she said, you're not. But boy, when I'm by myself, I just laugh like crazy. So I talked about last Sunday was ordinary time. And so Shirley asked me earlier that Sarah and Lee had asked, so why is he in green? Is it that I just look good in green? It's ordinary time. And so we talked a little bit about what ordinary time was and really targeting those passages, those first 8 verses in Matthew about ordinary time is healing the sick, right? Healing lepers, casting out demons, raising the dead, preaching the good news. What you have received freely, give freely. That's ordinary time. That's normal Christianity. That's where we're supposed to be living. That's where we're supposed to be walking. A bearer of good news with word and power. Right? Ordinary, run-of-the-mill, everyday Christianity, fanatical, not cultural, on fire, passionate with the good news. Unapologetically. Because the world needs to hear it. And the Lord chooses to use us, to steward with us, to partner with us, so that we'll go out and do it, because He wants us to play. Right? Ordinary time. So Jesus, and I had shared last Sunday that this whole thing started with the fact that He called them and called each of them, and we knew their names, that it always starts with relationship first. Right? It always starts with relationship first. The Lord calls us into relationship, reminding us who we are first and foremost, our identity as His beloved sons and daughters. And then He gives us the assignment. He doesn't give us the assignment, and in the process of the assignment, we figuring out who we are. He says, I want you to know who you are and whom I have called before I ever send you out. Because if that's not the basis, then somewhere along the line, you can get off track as to why you're doing what you're doing. Because then you're going to get caught up into doing as opposed to first and foremost being my beloved. And once you know that, then everything flows from that. Because it's not about you. It's about me in you. And I've got amazing things for you to do. You just got to trust me. So in this chapter, he talks about if you go into a household and the household is worthy, so I'm in basically verse 13, then you're going to send your peace out and that peace is going to remain. But if that peace comes back to you, then don't waste any time. Walk out the door and and head down the road, go to the next house. Then he'll say in verse 16, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpent and harmless as doves. And see, that's all about eyes. Serpent has the ability to look at its prey, and it focuses on its prey, and it does not take its eyes off its prey because it knows that that's the meal. And so it's focus. But dove's eyes are lover's eyes. Right? It's all about eyes. So it's like, be very aware of what's going on around you. Okay? Be very aware of what's going on around you. Remember the story of Gideon? When the Lord told Gideon that you are going to take this army and you're going to come up against 20,000 and you've got a bunch of people that have showed up, but you got too many. Remember, he whittled them down to, remember how many he whittled them down to? 300. And the 300 were decided by the ones who, when they leaned down to get the water, they took the water, they cupped it in their hand and they drank it like this, as opposed to putting their head down. Because the ones that were doing like that, they were aware. They were watching what was going on around them. They were attentive. So Jesus says, when you go out there, and I'm sending you out, be as cunning as a serpent, stealth, and as gentle as a dove. In verse 19, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? If all of a sudden we're going to say, so, wow, Jen, the Spirit of your Father gave you something to say unto your sister. Jane, the Spirit of your Father gave you something to say to her. And Dan, and all the others. Amazing. And then he goes on to say, you're going to be hated for all, hated by all for my sake. And then he goes on to say, do you realize there's nothing concealed that will not be spoken? And what you hear in private, you go up on the housetop and you start shouting it. And then he goes on to say, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father in heaven. And in the passage we have today, don't think for one moment the Lord says, I came to bring peace. I came to shake things up, and everything that needs to be shaken that is not stable is going to be broken up. And every one of these houses of cards, every one of these family situations that in fact are dysfunctional, but you're trying all that you can to make sure that it works just fine. But behind closed doors, it's anything but that. I came to put people at odds with one another because it's phony and it's fake and I'll have nothing of it. And that's what you're called to do. And then he says, did you hear what I just said? Now, pick up your cross. So what's your cross? Is it broken relationships? Is it sickness, illness, disease, tragedy, accident? Is that what your cross is? And I know you've heard me say this, that has nothing whatsoever to do with the cross. And I can't tell you, in what is it, 33 years of ordained ministry, the number of times I've heard people just say, because it's kind of like common speak, well, it's just the cross I have to bear, my illness. It's just the cross I have to bear, the family situation of the individual that blah, 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 blah. You know, I lost my job and that's just the cross I have to bear. Because if Jesus starts all of this out by saying, I'm equipping you with power and word to go out in there, and you're going out into a world that does not want to hear what it is that you have to say, or want to receive what it is that you have to give, because they don't know any better. See, they're exactly like the people of Nineveh. They don't even know their left hand from their right hand. And there's people wandering around thinking that they know what they're doing, and they are so clueless. They're running into one another, they're running into life, and they don't even realize it, and they think they're going in a direction, and all they're doing is following dead ends and rabbit trails, and I'm sending you out there with my word and my power to do things, and I'm assuring you, you're going to run into all kinds of resistance because the world, the flesh, and the enemy doesn't want to hear it. So your cross, remember, and again, I keep repeating this. Remember, you've heard me say this. It's not original with me. There's only one person in the Gospels giving out crosses. Who is that? Pontius Pilate. There's only one person giving out crosses, and you have to look at that and say, why did Jesus get the cross? Now, granted, I am not exhausting that, but just, you know, from one perspective, consider this. Because he wouldn't deny who he was. He would not deny his Father. He would say, I'm only doing what I've seen the Father do, and I'm only saying what I've heard him say, and I won't apologize for that, and I will shout it from the housetops. And when I walk into a situation that is fakey, I will address it. If I have to cleanse a temple, if that's what I see him doing, that's what I'll do. It had nothing to do with the fact that, okay, your cross is going to be God before the foundation of the world have said, this is how many diseases you're going to get. This is how many accidents you're going to experience. This is how many broken promises and betrayal you're going to go through. And suck it up. Pick up your cross and keep going. Because after all, I'm with you. It's a heresy. It's an absolute heresy. It's a teaching from the pits of hell to say that God goes around and gives people difficult situations and illnesses and accidents and sickness so then he can come along and say, now are you ready to depend on me? I sent you all of this crap, so now you'll depend on me. And now I can heal you and set you free. You see? It's a teaching right from the pit of hell. Because it has nothing to do with the cross. Nothing. The cross has to do with the fact of, get this, an absolute privilege of being able to enter in and say, wow, I get to share with you. Because the way they treated you, I guess the world and the flesh and the devil is going to treat me if I do what it is that you're calling me to do, what the Father is doing and what the Father is saying, and to shout from the rooftops, he's good, and he's come to bring life and life in abundance. And you may not be able to hear that right now. You may not want to hear that right now because you may be in this pile of you know what, and you think it's warm and cozy. Right. But that's not where you are to remain because God has more. And see, that's why I started this whole thing with just think about the prophetic. God, who's outside of time, looks at each of us, looks at us as a church, looks at us as individuals, and says, I have a word for you that I'm speaking into the present, maybe to set you free from something in the past, not to your soul, to your spirit, so it will arise. It will arise and to believe that God is good, that God is for you, that God is not against you, that you're hidden in Christ, that he in you is the hope of glory, that all of that is true, and you arise to the truth, and there's something within you that says, I desire to believe. And when I pick up my cross, it's not this burden. I mean, Jesus in a couple of weeks is going to say, don't you realize that the yoke that I give you is easy and the burden is light? Good news?
Amen.
It's a war, right? It is a war. And you get to play. You get to participate fully, completely, and never get taken out. Wow. Let me end with this. I love that passage in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Take that passage and try to see it from the perspective of the cross. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in Jesus' name, I pick up the privilege of being able to, through word and power, carry what it is that he did on that cross for our behalf, and I get to be a messenger of that. And so what I do is I come out and I say, the wages of sin is death. It's like world, flesh, enemy, you have to really work at sinning. Sinning is a lot of work. And I don't know about you, if any time in your life you got really good at it. Hopefully, for all of us, we're not quite as good at it as we used to be. But the wages of sin is death. In other words, you have to work at it. You got to make a conscious effort. You work at it. You work at it. And what it does is it brings death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. All of a sudden, you realize the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what I get to carry. That's the cross. I get to carry this. And where do I carry it? Right into the kingdom. I carry it right into the kingdom. The Lord says, the kingdom is yours. That's what you're carrying. The cross you're carrying is eternal life. The cross that you're carrying is this message of life. The cross that you're carrying is confronting false peace. It's confronting every bit of the demonic. It's confronting every disease. It's confronting every thing where the wheels have come off. It's confronting all of that. And what you're saying is, I come bringing this cross. The gift of God is eternal life, and you get to enter into the kingdom. And think about the kingdom. I keep saying this where I want to end. Okay, think about the kingdom. Okay, you come into the kingdom, and it's all yours, right? It's all yours, and you come into the kingdom, and you go, wow, I didn't know this was in the kingdom. Well, I don't really know how to play that, so I'm going to leave that for another time. I'm just going to leave that for another time, okay? I don't know how to play this either. I'll just leave that for another time. And what if the Father says, do you want me to teach you?
Amen.
Do you want me to teach you? Come here. Sit down. I'll teach you. So you can do it. And then I'll teach you how to do that. And I'll teach you anything else that you want, because it's all yours. Because you're carrying my cross now. And I'll teach you all that you want. You have access to it all. And when you look at it and you look over there and say, well, I don't move in the prophetic. I don't know how to do the prophetic. You know, it's clanging and I don't get that. So I'm going to go over here, and the Father says, do you want me to teach you? Do you want me to teach you? Come over here and I'll show you. I'll open it up and I'll show you. And when you're ready for that, I'll take you over here and show you how to do this. And I'll take you for a walk. And I'll show you how to let go. I love you so much. I want to give you everything. Don't be afraid of the world. Don't be afraid of the flesh. And don't be afraid of the enemy. Because I'm with you. And the cross that you're carrying is a gift of God as eternal life. And what you're going to do is out there, and you are setting people free from these wages that they have been working at, that all of a sudden they want to take off and go, I don't want to do this anymore. And the Father says, come on, I got so much to show you. Amen?
Amen.
Bobby, did you want to say something?
Yes.
Can you be shorter than me?
I'm not the choke. Yes, Jesus. I was sitting the other night, and I got this feeling from God. I was asking God to show me what part of the body of Christ I am. Then he says, but when he said I am, we are, then it says, we all are the feet of the body of Christ, because the feet carry the body where the body needs to go. Father Mark is the head. We always submit to the leadership because God tells him what to do. So we, the body, should follow the head. If we don't, there is confusion in every evil word. And then people still ask me to show an example through my own body, but I want somebody who, you. And here I can show what happens when the body is in order, and when the body, and what happens when the body does not do, when the body is off, and when the body is not in order. All of us, listen. Everybody is, so listen. Nobody is left out. Sometimes you may feel less than whatever, but look, we all are feet, so that means I'm a feet. Nobody in here needs to feel like, well, mama, go shit. Come on, let's talk. We all walk. We carry. But who we're carrying is Jesus. We're carrying Jesus. The Holy Spirit. We're carrying Jesus. He's in us. And exact everything that you said, the Holy Spirit, let it. We are carrying. Good news. Well, I don't have time to tell you. Feel bad. How you spell feel bad?
Don't you be talking to me like that, girl.
But it's true. Look.
Amen, Bobby.
The Bible will carry the Word of God is on the inside, the Holy Spirit on the inside. And he let me know. I may be a fingernail. This may be all I am. But then my fingerhood wouldn't be at all any good without my fingers. I may be a finger, you may be a shoulder, Father Mark, your head. I don't know who's who. And it's, guess what, it's not important. Because if my feet refuse to move and my head needs to go somewhere, my head can't go because my feet are hindered. Head wanna go somewhere. So, but if my arm wanna go somewhere and my feet say no, my shoulder can't go nowhere. Each part of my body need to go, can't go without the feet. So we all, what? You know what? I really feel this. We are so full of the Holy Spirit. We're at that point now where we cannot receive anymore. Do you understand what I'm not saying we can't receive anymore, but it's like when I get full, we're ready to carry out. He's not going to send an empty picture through that door, but we're all, each one of us. Nobody in here before has the same calling. Come here, little sweetie. Come here. She and I don't do the same thing. Your grandmama and I, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't do the same thing. Your car, I like her. She get that flag on there and twirl it. I can't twirl it like that, but she's called for that. Each one of us have a call. So as I go out, you may never know what I'll do, or what the Lord will call me. Let me tell you, I said, is that important? That's not important. It's not important. It's important that Jesus, see, he wants to, really, he's at that point now where he's ready to move out. And he's with me, he let me know that I'm stripping you of everything. And you know what? I just love it. I love when you strip me of me. Because you know the greatest deliverance I've received since I've been here is being delivered from myself. Amen. To be myself. Delivered from myself. Because I'm not him. Miss Linda, you can't do nothing to me, sweetie. I'm my father. You see what I'm saying? But when God delivered me from me, guess what? He has set me free to do whatever he wants me to do. And guess what? It's nothing you can do to make me not love you. Because that's all I know. And each one, guess what? And each one of everybody in here is the same. You may not love, you may not act. If you was me, then you would be you. If you were me, you would be you. Each one of us, however each one of us responds, this little baby, she just getting good like this, and this baby going to get up and run. But I'm not her. I can't be her, so I have to be me. And it's okay for me to be. Every word that you said.
Good.
Amen.
Amen. Did you want to say anything about that right now, or do you want to wait? Do you want to say anything about that right now, or do you want to wait? Peace of the Lord be with you. Let's offer one another a sign of Christ's peace.